KCO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Talk show hosts present and past speak out after ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely over comments about the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. David Letterman spoke at the Atlantic Festival.
You can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian.
FCC Chair Brendan Carr tells Fox.
This is a massive shift that's taking place in the media ecosystem, and I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
Officials in Washington state believe they've found the remains of fugitive father Travis Decker near Leavenworth. Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison.
We're hoping to get results back and get a confirmation. Is this Mr. Decker or is it not? And we're also looking towards our medical team to go through and do an assessment of how long he had been deceased.
President Trump expected to confirm a deal with China's Xi Jinping today to save TikTok in the U.S.
The kind of money we're talking about is very substantial. And it'll be owned by all American investors.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The Wisconsin State Assembly has passed a proposed bill that would effectively require state employees to return to in-person work full-time. Lisa Hale reports.
The bill requires state employees to work in their office for at least 80% of the time. It passed 51-44, along party lines in the Republican-controlled state assembly. Democratic lawmakers argued that the bill would not help the state government operate more effectively, saying remote work options helped state agencies recruit and retain good workers from across Wisconsin and help them consolidate remaining physical workspaces.
A Madison Alder is running to become Wisconsin's first openly trans member of the legislature. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Wednesday, Representative Francesca Hong announced she's running for governor. That leaves her seat open. And now there's a contender. Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford is running for the seat. In 2023, she became Madison's first trans woman on the Common Council. If she wins, she'd be the first trans person in the state legislature. Here's what she told me before announcing her campaign.
It sounds so trite, but when they can see someone who is actively participating in government, who was sitting in a seat next to people and telling them, I am still a human being and I have every constitutional right that everyone else does, gosh, that makes an impact. And for that little kid who has never seen a trans person really thrive close to them, this is a beacon saying you belong and you are just as valuable as any other human life.
Her platform includes affordable housing as a human right and public policy lifting people out of poverty. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Meet me in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports baseball. The Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cardinals. The crew with a 5-2 win last night at home against the Angels. Christian Yelich, 2-for-4, driving in his 100th RBI of the season. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's quite an accomplishment for any player. Yelly, you know, if you took the number of hard hit balls that were caught this year by Yelich over 100 and whatever miles an hour, you'd be astounded.
Milwaukee's magic number down to 4. The Angels losing their 7th in a row. Football, the Badgers host Maryland tomorrow. Kickoff 11 a.m. The Packers head to Cleveland to play the Browns Sunday at noon. The Lions, Commanders, and now the Browns all trying to stop Green Bay's ground game.
A lot of these teams that we play, we already know they're going to load the box. It's going to be 8 to 9 guys in there. Safety's going to be flowing hard. It just is what it is. It's what we got to expect, so we got to learn how to make adjustments from there.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies for today. Most of the day will be dry, but a shower, perhaps a thunderstorm, possible late in the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Showers and thunderstorms becoming more likely tonight. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s to near 60. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the state of free speech in the U.S. Also, what's going on with the Epstein files. Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan joins us in hour number one. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on a Friday morning. It is September 19th, 2025. Parker Olson's producing things down in Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. And so is our Week in Review panel, journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, to talk about the big stories of the week. And obviously, what is happening to our First Amendment in our corporate media is going to be a big part of this hour's discussions. In our next hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us along with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, talking about a big diaper drive going on for a local diaper bank and how you can help out and how your donations can be doubled thanks to somebody who's going to be matching all of those gifts. And Mike Clemens will be along at 8:35 to talk all about the Brewers sweeping the Angels and now heading to St. Louis for a series against the Cardinals. And then they had out of the St. Louis series this weekend, they then head to, where is it? San Diego. That's right. For games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And then they come home for the final homestand of the season next weekend against Cincinnati. And that gets us to Free Ticket Friday. This is the final Free Ticket Friday of the Brewers season. So you want that Civic Media app handy to send us the keyword I'm going to give you in just a little bit, and you can get 4 tickets to next Friday night's game versus Cincinnati. And it's our last Free Ticket Friday, so listen for that keyword. You'll have until 9 o'clock to text it in, and then more keywords throughout the day, more chances to enter. One of those drawings or one of those entries today will be drawn to win those 4 tickets to the game. Now, let's give it to you now. It's blue, B-L-U-E. Text the keyword blue, like the color, before 9 a.m., and you will be in the running for those Brewers tickets on Free Ticket Friday. Now, let's get to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who is looking at a radar over the upper Midwest that just basically looks like an old cocktail napkin, and you put the cup of coffee on there or whatever, and it's just got these rings of a mess. And it's just these rings of rain all over the place, and you just don't know when it's going to rain, but you know you're on the napkin somewhere, Brittany.
I have never heard that comparison, and I love it. You've got me cracking up. I can't even think now.
Now
that's perfect.
Yes, I mean, it is. You look at the napkin. You lift up the coffee cup, and you go, ooh, maybe I should aim better when I'm pouring. But be that as it may, we got a mess across the Midwest.
We do. And this isn't even the low pressure system itself. This is still just a front wrapped through the state. But the winds are picking up. It's going to be a breezy day today, and that's going to continue into the weekend. Actually, we have a beach hazard statement on all the Lake Michigan shores through at least tomorrow. And we're also looking at Douglas County. You're going to see some of the bigger waves potentially approaching about 10 feet high. So strong winds off the lake, strong winds inland as well, and a lot of rain on and off. It's becoming numerous now throughout the state, a little heavy at times, especially right now towards Hurley, Eau Claire, Park Falls. You're kind of getting in the mix of that. But this is going to be the case as we go through the next few days. What I'm thinking is we'll have a little break this afternoon and then more starts to ramp up later tonight, or it could be heavy in spots. We might get a little bit of a break tomorrow, but then Sunday it looks to get heavy as well, and potentially into Monday too, where we could see a front setting up across southeastern parts of the state where it could just start to downpour, maybe 2 inches, 3 inches in some spots. But widespread, we're really looking at about a half an inch to an inch by the time this weekend is said and done. Really depends on if your town gets underneath multiple thunderstorms or not. This is a messy system. It has honestly been one of the hardest ones to forecast, to be honest with you. But the good news is I don't see any severe weather in it. I just see some heavy rainfall potentially. So breezy, wet, dark and dreary this weekend. Don't forget the umbrella. I actually made a post on Facebook. I want pictures of your umbrellas. I just started thinking this morning, there's got to be an array of colors and designs and things. And if you get caught in the rain, I want to see a video too.
Yes, there are absolutely so many umbrellas. That's a great idea.
I wonder if there are any umbrellas that look like Pat's shirt.
Right?
Oh, you know, the one day I don't wear a plaid or a flannel shirt. And now it's being used as fodder for umbrellas. No, it's got little umbrella. Palm trees on it. It's fine. Let's see what's in the mailbag here. First off, from Alicia. Ooh, what's with the honeycomb design on the shirt? All right, moving on here. From Roger and Stevens Point. Good morning. As the bells echo from St. Peter's Church, I tuned into the game that Chad Holmes called last night, Wausau East at Mosinee. The game had a 1 hour, 40 minute rain delay with a thunderstorm. Mosinee yep. won 35-7 as the game went final at almost 11 p.m. Chad Holmes puts in some long days. Let's see. I know that we've got Rob in Tigerton here. Here he is. Good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and 59, he puts on YouTube. Yesterday, I was busy mowing 5 yards in Tigerton. Yesterday, when you were all talking about pizza, I had a supreme pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. And he notes that the Tigerton sunsets are rapidly coming before 7 o'clock, 6:58. Is what he says sunset's going to be in Tigerton. He said last night around Lake Dubay area, north of Stevens Point, had 2.5 inches of rain. Tigerton, 0.2 inch of a rain overnight. He said, we do need the rain. It was the first in 10 days. And so that much rain is needed. And he also says he does not have an umbrella. Whereas Alicia puts on there.
You have all of that info.
I know. Alicia says, ooh, I've got a rainbow umbrella that I bought at Fox Valley Pride. So there. So get them sent beautiful. In. And I mean, do you subscribe to the whole theory of, you know, opening an umbrella inside is bad luck, or can people open their umbrella inside to make the video or the photo? Ooh. Or would you rather they be outside? Okay.
I wouldn't do that. I would be outside with it. Outside's better. Come on.
Look at you being all superstitious.
But if it's stored inside and you're not going anywhere and it's just sitting there, you can just send a picture of it just sitting there. That's fine.
Okay, that'll work. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you next hour.
Have a good day.
Hey, remember, you can sign... Where'd that go? Come Jeez. Back here. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a weekday version. We've got a weekend version with a Sunday morning question of the week that I put together. The weekday one is put together by Ellie, our new Newswatch newsletter editor, and... She talks as well about the diaper drive that we're going to be discussing an hour from now with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. So you've certainly got a story there of ways that you can help us out. And there's also a story here about a Lake Michigan shipwreck that has been found uncovered after 139 years. So learn more about that in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. In the news, there is a report that Congressman Tom Tiffany might be on the verge of announcing a run for governor. It's not an announcement that's coming from him. It came from Wisconsin College Republicans. Yesterday, they tweeted out a flyer advertising a very special event in Wausau hosted by Tom Tiffany coming up next Wednesday, September 24th. Multiple Republicans in the state told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Tiffany is planning to officially jump into the 2026 governor's race next week. I mean, I'm still not thoroughly convinced because, again, putting your name out there is a great way to do fundraising and build name ID. And in the end, he could say, you know, this just isn't the right time for me. But thanks for all of you who've been writing checks recently. So, again, I'll believe it when I hear it. although it would be great news for Wisconsin Republicans, because right now they have two relative unknowns who are running in Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Waukesha County business owner Bill Berrien. And so while Tom Tiffany is far better up north in the 7th Congressional District, his name, of course, has come up in countless conversations because Republicans are desperately seeking a rare win in state elections. You would get the impression that Republicans were dominant in Wisconsin to look at the legislature, but that, of course, was based on maps that were gerrymandered for over a decade. If you look at statewide elections, there have been 18 statewide elections dating back to 2018. And of those 18 statewide elections, the Democratic or the progressive candidate has won 15 of those 18 state elections. Now, there will be a primary, of course, both for the Democrats and the Republicans for the governor's race. There will be races next year for lieutenant governor, attorney general, treasurer, secretary of state. But with a wide open governor's race, Republicans are looking for somebody who has name ID. And so it is quite possible, though I would say not a certainty yet, that Tom Tiffany could get into the race in the middle of next week. Coming up this weekend, we're going to hear more about a Republican plan that would make some big changes about elections and ballot drop boxes. That note is coming from WISN-TV ahead of their Sunday show Up Front. They will be interviewing Republican State Representative Scott Krug. He's the Assembly Majority Leader. He's the Vice Chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. And it starts off with some good news. The Republican proposal that's about to be unveiled would finally allow the processing of absentee ballots the day before Election Day. That's something that should have been done a long time ago. It's not counting the ballots. That happens on Election Day. But it's a process to get the envelopes, open up the envelope. Well, first verify the envelopes against the voter list, then open them up and get them set. And then you can feed them, you know, the next day. Whereas if you're doing it day of, it stretches the process out. And frankly, Republicans haven't fixed it because they like that it's stretched out. They like that sometimes the results don't come in until after midnight because of big cities like Milwaukee, Green Bay, Racine, Kenosha, and elsewhere. And they can say, oh, there must be something suspicious going on with these ballots coming out late at night. Well, now Republicans say they are willing to pass a bill that would begin processing absentee ballots the day before. Of course, there's always a catch. And so the bill would mandate new, quote, security measures for drop boxes, including 24-hour surveillance video of each drop box that must be live streamed on the municipality's website. Ballots would also need to be transferred under the supervision of a law enforcement officer, and the legislation would penalize clerks who correct errors on absentee ballot requests. In other words, this is going after a fly with a sledgehammer. This is overkill to the umpteenth degree here. Surveillance video on every Dropbox that has to be live streamed on the municipality website. I'll say it again. There is already a penalty for mail fraud. If you use the mail fraudulently, you're going to get in trouble. Do we put 24-hour cameras on every mailbox? Does the city of Chippewa Falls have to have a website showing the webcams of every mailbox? No. Same goes for absentee ballot drop boxes. I'm up here in the town of Eagle Point. Has a beautiful old town hall. You're telling me that this town and every other township that wants an absentee ballot drop box now has to go through the expense of a live stream 24-hour camera and has to have a law enforcement officer there to transfer the ballots? Once again, these Republican legislators are teasing you by saying, hey, we're willing to make elections go a little bit more smoothly, processing those absentee ballots, but here's some strings attached. And they're not even strings. These are ropes. These are chains. This is a non-starter. But it's been pretty par for the course lately when it comes to Republicans managing elections. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. Our keyword before 9 a.m. for Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets to next Friday's game against the Cincinnati Reds is blue. Text blue, B-L-U-E, before 9 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Looking to give back to your community? Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org to find volunteer opportunities near you. Join us in celebrating United Way's month by getting involved. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or contact your local United Way today. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in
chess.
Listen to you laugh.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to WXCO Morning Report, 98.9 WXCO, online WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:23. It is overcast here in downtown Wausau. The temperature stands at 60 degrees. I am Chad Holmes, Ian Welsh across the way behind the glass. And Friday, heading towards the weekend, and time to look at what's happening in Wisconsin sports. Joined again by Paul Micklig, who just said, it seems like I just saw you. And it was because I just saw you late last night, with some high school football. But plenty to talk about in terms of sports. Let's jump right in. Let's talk about the Brewers, because last night they found a way again. They beat the Los Angeles Angels 5-2. And I thought the big number was that Yelich, 100 RBI. Had not done that since 2018. I had to think about it. I thought, well, was he with the Marlins back then? Because that's a long time ago. But really great to see. I mean, he's a guy that people really have come to, I think, appreciate. And he's gone through the back issues, which is not easy for a Major League Baseball player or any athlete. Really, that's really a good story.
Great story. And 2018 then was when he must have hit that ball off is down in Florida in Miami. That's how it all started, kind of the downfall. Man, that's a long time ago. I didn't think that was that long ago, but it was, obviously. Otherwise, he would have been. So that took 2018-19. Then 2020 was COVID, so shorter. Now you're all the way until 2021. And his the back started, you know, was acting up. And last year he had the surgery. You know, so it goes fast. And to get 100 RBIs, he's been consistent in that middle of the order all year. And they need him to be the guy that's going to bring runs home. That's the bottom line in this situation here. They need guys that can be, just like they have the pitching staff, that can be get outs. They also need those guys that can get those big hits. And he's hit the home runs. I think he's at 29, I think he's at, which, you know, if he ends up at 30 and 100 is a good year for at this point in time of his career, right? I mean, I if we can get 30 and 100 out of him, that's a good season.
Exactly. Oh, it's an outstanding season. Quinn Priester, he must have, of course, we were in Mosinee, so didn't see the game. At least I didn't see any of it. I don't know if you were looking on your phone, but what, 8 strikeouts out of the first 9 batters and then perfect through 4 innings, 19 straight appearances. The Brewers have won. Talk about a lucky rabbit's foot. I mean that's, I don't care, because, you know, in this era, so often, even last night, I mean, he pitched so well, he got no decision. So even when you pitch well, you're to win 19 in a row, that means the other guys in the bullpen and your pitching staff are doing the job as well. But I mean that's an amazing number. I heard that Roger Clemens back in the day with Boston back in the 80s had 20 games in a row where he started and won. This is a case, 16 starts and 3 pseudo starts, because he was like second behind the opener. That's incredible.
I mean, he's doing something right. I don't really care. Everybody's something right. And you almost want to break that before you get to the playoffs. Because if you can put him out there in a 5-game series, if you can put him out there twice, and you think that's 2 games, well, you're not going to get to the fifth game if you can get those 2 wins all. Without Freddie.
I mean, I was going to say it. I mean, if you want someone going twice, it's got to be Peralta, right?
Well, with the way it's set up, they can almost have the first guy and the second guy go 4-5.
That would still be
with the days off. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I mean, it would be.
They could also pitch into the seventh and eighth innings when they don't do that anymore. I mean, you're not going to see. That's the old days and that's the way I liked it, where you had your best guy go in the game 1 and game 4. But they don't do that anymore. Even with the days off, I would be surprised. We'll see. But I mean, how many days off do they have?
Like, get one game in between each one.
Every day they get a day off?
So he could pitch.
What the heck is going on in baseball then? I mean, that's ridiculous. Don't you?
Well, I know at least through the first 3 games that they have a game off.
Game, day off, game, day off, game, day off.
Yes.
Oh, that's pathetic. I mean, we're getting, that's, you like to use the term make-believe? That is make-believe, because that completely changes again the dynamic of what baseball is all about. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, well, if you're top heavy.
Right, but I mean, I'm not going to talk, take off your Brewer hat here for a moment. Just take it off. As a baseball fan, isn't that ridiculous? Baseball is an everyday thing. For 162 days, games, mainly, they get a few days off. But mainly, you have to go out there every day and perform. You have to have a certain amount of depth when it comes to pitching. And then in the playoffs, you're going to do that. Rob Manfred's an idiot.
Well, it's all about money. I mean,
I don't care. Hey, that does not make it right, though. You can say that. Yeah, I'm not saying it is right.
I'm just saying it's the bottom line.
But it's ridiculous. I can say that it's ridiculous, right?
Well, don't you want to watch them, you know, hey.
Take off the Brewers.
I'm not talking about the Brewers. The Brewers aren't even, this has never helped them before. Well, so who says it's going to help them now?
You need
3 starters. You need 3 starters.
But that's ridiculous. That makes me mad this early in the morning.
3 starters.
I didn't know the schedule was like that. I don't follow it as closely as you do.
Well,
because I got other things I rail on every day.
Well, but the Brewers are important. If you're number one team, if you're number one ranked now.
Absolutely. But I mean, that's just, boy, that really, Rob Manfred needs to go.
Well, it doesn't help the Brewers. I don't think totally.
I don't even know.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not livid about that.
That's what you're upset about.
Yes, I am.
Brewer, you know,
I am upset.
Let's get the Brewers the record, huh?
We'll be back in 22 minutes. I'm so annoyed. 7:30 is the time on WXCO.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Wisconsin corn growers have seen rust in the past, but a new type of rust could be costing you yield this year. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Rust has forced the harvest along in states like Nebraska, South Dakota, and now it's showing up in Wisconsin cornfields. Chad Stoudinger is a regional agronomist with Dairyland Seeds, and he explains why this rust is different than what many Wisconsin farms have encountered in the past.
Southern rust came in from Mexico, basically, and blew up to this portion of the U.S. this year. In some storm events in early spring. So it brought a new disease here. And so it mimics common rust, except that it's much more intense. It can shut down whole plants very quickly. It loves hot weather, hot heat and humidity, so above 77 degrees in humid conditions, which we had a lot of. Thankfully, in eastern Wisconsin, I don't think the impact is going to be yield limiting, but if we move to other parts of the state, it definitely is.
Chad Stoudinger is a regional agronomist with Dairyland Seed who's been observing this southern type of rust, and it could impact the harvest pace of Wisconsin farm fields. Might want to check in with your agronomist and see what their advice is. My advice on a Friday morning, if you're watching the markets right now, not bad.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim. Hey,
like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday in Chicago. 40-pound block cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 168 and a quarter, while the AA butter dropped a half to 180 and a half per pound. October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning up 6, 1751. November's up 16, 1715. Right now, December corn is up 3 at 426. November beans up 6, currently at 1043. July new crop wheat, penny and a half higher, stands at 565 a bushel. Currently, that's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into a finally Friday trade session. More news anytime you want it, plus podcasts at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies for today. Most of the day will be dry, but a shower, perhaps a thunderstorm possible late in the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Showers and thunderstorms becoming more likely tonight. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s to near 60. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real results is going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Stuart Waddles. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Civic Media's own Terry Barr joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Coming up Monday on the program, we'll be talking to State Senator Kelda Royce, who announced at the start of this week that she is a candidate for governor. So we'll talk to her Monday about her entering the gubernatorial race for 2026. Then on Wednesday in our homeroom segment, we will talk to Dr. Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Yesterday, she gave her State of Education address and said that the first thing we try to teach our school kids is to stand up to bullies. And right now, the biggest bully in education is this federal government. So we'll talk to Jill Underley about that coming up next Wednesday here on the program. We do want you texting in the word blue. That's our keyword for Free Ticket Friday. But while you're at the Civic Media app, there is that text feature to text us things like the word blue or comments or questions. But there's also a voice note feature. If you use that button instead, you can record a little audio message to us that we can listen to or that we could even play back on the radio. So check that out through the Civic Media app. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is here along with journalist Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. Nice to have you back here for this week's Week in Review panel. And Jennifer, we'll start with you because we've already discussed the pulling of Jimmy Kimmel in response to allegedly in response to things that he said. And by the way, if any of you missed that in the last segment, subscribe to us as a podcast over at Spotify and you'll never miss any of these segments. But what it risks doing here with this Jimmy Kimmel thing is we're now focused on the way the First Amendment is essentially being trashed by corporate media. And I think that that only fits the ongoing, what you and I would call sane washing of Charlie Kirk's record, that people are being made to feel afraid to speak the truth about this guy. And it is more important than ever to, as I said before, we're not going to do the deification of Charlie Kirk on this program.
I think we are in a perfect storm. The years of demonizing the media and, you know, embracing alternate facts, or did she say alternative facts, we're seeing the absolute impact of that right now. Facts do not matter. If you utter Charlie Kirk's name and you're not the right person doing that, there is a mob coming after you for your job. They're coming, you know, they're sending threats. It is a remarkable time in American history. You cannot say anything that the mob does not like, or you risk everything. And people are being fired for saying really pretty mild stuff. And there's a myth, I think, out there that people are celebrating and people are, you know, demonizing. And surely there is some of that because the internet is a big place. But the impression you might get from that is that it's Democratic politicians, that it's, you know, leaders of the opposition from, you know, well-known groups. It is not. But it is so consumed everybody and everything that up is down and down is up. It's an incredible thing.
It's what I always say about, you know, Ronald Reagan's welfare queens. There will always be at least one person gaming the system, and there will always be one immigrant who's committing a crime. And even if that's the only one, if you blow that up, people are going to think that's what everybody is doing. And that's what they're doing now with people who are not even criticizing Charlie Kirk, Mark Jacob. They're simply repeating his words back. And now you have from Congressman Derek Van Orden becoming a modern day Joseph McCarthy. You have, as Jennifer refers, this mob that begins at the very top with essentially a mob boss in the White House unleashing this mob, something that he's got experience doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, it's clear that the right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. And so I mean, they're just looking for pretexts. I mean, it's the whole if people need to understand what the Reichstag fire was in Germany, and that was when somebody, it's still not even clear who, set the parliament on fire. Now, that the Nazis reacted by getting rid of all civil rights and creating a dictatorship. So, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not making a one-to-one comparison with MAGA and Nazis, although I'd stop making any comparison if they'd stop acting like that. But what I'm saying is that that they look for pretexts. Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. And the Kirk thing, which was a terrible act by a confused young man, is their pretext. And that's a thing. As Jennifer pointed out, 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. It's not that it didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. Not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Yeah, exactly. And you have in this growing mob, Jim Santel, you have people who are, we've gone from support to allegiance to blind faith, and they are starting to lose sight of things like the difference between a king and a president. And that was a theme echoed this week by a sitting Supreme Court justice.
Sonia Sotomayor is in New York City at the NYU Law School. It's Constitution Day on Wednesday. We all celebrated that, right? Back in 1787. A couple of years later, we passed a thing in the first Congress saying, yes, indeed, there's freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Gosh, those were the days, right? So Sonia Sotomayor is in New York, and she's talking all about these things, and she is saying, bemoaning the fact that Americans may no longer have a real clear civics understanding of how these things work, how the meanings of the Constitution, those words, do in fact have some significance. She also takes appropriately a shot at lawyers, which I appreciate. She says, I think the thing that gets me every time I listen to a lawyer-trained representative saying we should criminalize free speech in the same way, I think to myself, that law school has failed. If any student who becomes a lawyer hasn't been taught civics, then the law school has failed. And again, not only is there cynicism by this president and others in Washington, other places around the country, but it's so cynical because it relies upon the incapacity of Americans to understand how things work. And that's just not promoting institutional things. It's understanding what the First Amendment means. Not every single case has been decided for 200 years, but the fundamental trappings of it. That's what she is bemoaning, and she is saying that in the midst of an internet that permits you to post anything that you want, that confusion only adds to this huge problem of lack of understanding about how things are supposed to work.
So we've got the cynicism that's out there, and it has become a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is a little odd because, people have been making cynical jokes about government as long as there have been governments. But it has that cynicism is built to such a level, Jennifer, that there's people that are willing to essentially allow a government to be overthrown and allow, the First Amendment to be trashed because of their cynicism. It makes it hard to believe that there is a way to start to turn things back. And I'm putting this on your shoulders first, whether you want to talk about media companies or media consumers. What kinds of first steps are there that start to have more people understand the importance of the First Amendment and not allowing presidents to be dictators? I guess I'd go first just to say what we need is for networks, and I would also say for colleges and universities, a few more people to be especially vocal in standing up and resisting this trend.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Right now, people are afraid. At every level, people are afraid. And we need more people to be brave and stand up to everything that Trump is doing and remind your neighbors, your family, what the Constitution says, free speech, what it really means, and maybe even dig down to the granular stuff. One of the things about the Kimmel story that really bothers me is what he said and what he didn't say is not in most of the news coverage. He actually, all of MAGA is saying he said a MAGA person killed Charlie Kirk. He did not. He was making fun of Donald Trump. And And I scoured news coverage yesterday in the follow-up stories about the Jimmy Kimmel suspension. And I couldn't find many that actually had what Kimmel said and also reflected what MAGA is saying he said. So it's an interesting, there is an Earth 2 over here. And I think people need to really understand that and appreciate it and then try to puncture it. And I think one of the ways we fight back against that is I think we have to start really leaning into alternative communication things. I think network news is on its way out. So what's going to replace it? You know, where's Jimmy Kimmel going to pop up next? He's not going to go back to ABC News or ABC. I doubt it. Where's he going to come? There's got to be alternative spaces. We already know that there are. I think we have to also help support the ones that are there and grow them, like Career and things like that. And maybe that's a start.
Yeah. Let's look at another dimension of this, Mark. And it's not, we've been talking about ABC a lot here, but let's talk about the affiliates and the affiliate ownership. Ugh. And now I'm really going to show my age. Because I grew up at a time when we had what was called the rule of sevens. The most anybody could own was seven AMs, seven FM radio stations, and seven TV stations. And that was it. And now we have these groups that own dozens and dozens of stations and
hundreds of stations.
And if they have right wing ownership and biases like Sinclair and maybe Nexstar as well, it's those affiliate groups that are truly the big corporate media, arguably more so than the networks. And that is that just is blaring antitrust issues in my mind, Mark.
Well, that's a key thing, because while ABC as an entity doesn't, you know, get regulated, or they don't have to be sanctioned by the FCC, they're not licensed by the FCC. The individual stations, local stations, are licensed by the FCC. And that's where you know, that's where the Brendan Carr has them, you know, by the neck. I mean, that and would you have his Nexstar, for example, which was part of the whole Kimmel thing, you know, got that ball rolling. They have a deal now to get even bigger. That's got to be approved by Brendan Carr and the FCC. So clearly they're going to do whatever Trump wants in order to get bigger and bigger. And you know, if people are complaining about the lack of disparate voices and lack of free speech, which the right wing was talking about, at least during the Biden administration, they need to be looking at these monopolies that are being built up. And you know, if you're Trump, you want monopolies if they're beholden to you, because that just shuts everyone else out. And so so Sinclair and Nexstar and places like that are extremely powerful now because they're completely controlled by Trump and they'll do whatever he wants.
And again, not to get too deep in the weeds, although I'm always tempted to do like the entire 3-hour show, Jim, on Hungary and what we're now, I think a lot more people are learning the word urbanization for Viktor Orban. And I've only got a couple of seconds here, but I mean, I think people are right to be concerned about government, not necessarily owning media, but having very friendly people in those ownership positions.
Absolutely. Very brief point. There is still an antitrust division inside the Department of Justice that should be attacking the very monopolies, those things. We used to do that. We don't do that anymore under this administration.
That's right. Jim Santel, you can hear him on Amicus Law Review Saturdays at 9. You can get Indistinct Chatter from Jennifer Schulze on Substack. And you can get Stop the Presses from Mark Jacob at stopthepresses.news through couriernewsroom.com, all part of our amazing Week in Review panel. And again, free ticket Friday. The keyword until 9 a.m. to text us is blue. Your chance to be in the running for a drawing for 4 tickets to see the Brewers versus Cincinnati next Friday night. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ.
The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is WXCO Morning Report, 98.9 WXCO, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Miklik, and the expectations were not very high last week for the Badgers as they went to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama, and they reached those not very high expectations in that game against Alabama last week.
It was, you can see the difference in the talent level right now where they're, each team is at. Alabama is one of the top programs in the nation talent-wise, and unfortunately, Wisconsin's probably not at that, not that level. And, that's kind of what is going on with college football, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think there's the top and then there's the everybody else. And sometimes you can get one of those teams from everybody else to rise up with a perfect situation. I don't think, Wisconsin's at that level right now.
Right now, the biggest question, at least in my mind, is they just don't have an offensive line like they used to. I mean, they just don't run the football very well, and they don't have the quarterback talent right now to be able to get past that. And I don't see that changing this season. I don't see that there's a combination of talent and also a little bit dinged up. But boy, I mean, this team does not have that normal foundation that Wisconsin football usually just lifts off from, and that's a run game.
That's kind of, and I think we thought they were going to come back and try to establish that. And then, you know what? Things aren't created overnight.
I just think bottom line, I was not, you know, blown away by the new OC when he was hired, but I don't blame him for anything. I just don't think they got the ability right now to run the football the way they probably would like to.
Correct. So, I mean, that's so it's a take time. Yeah. I'm not saying anybody's...
No, but I'm just pointing out my thoughts is that I think in some cases it's so easy to say, well, the offensive coordinator. I think last year and the year before, there was some reasons, I think, to be disappointed. And I think you're right that it's going to take time. If you're going to try to get that mentality back that Wisconsin had for so long, you can. It is easier now, of course, with the ability to bring out the checkbook and free agency in football. But at the same time, it's not easy to flip a switch and become again that mentality we saw for so many years.
And that checkbook also goes off for other teams too. That's true. for the guys that Wisconsin has been getting. You know what I mean?
So that's true. Yeah.
That it's kind of, it goes both ways. So it'll be interesting to see with how long it takes. I don't think it's going to, you know, what I did like to see is I thought they were trying to run the ball out of different formations, at different ways of trying to get the ball being run. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be okay with that. They're going to be okay in the long run. I liked what he was doing. I liked what they're trying to do. It's going to take time though. To get established, and it would be nice if they can get it established this week a little bit against Maryland.
If they're going to go to a bowl game this year, this is one of the games they got to win. I mean, the roadmap, as you look at the schedule, the roadmap is this is a game at home against a Maryland team that sort of, I think, fits in the same general area as Wisconsin. They have to win this one, and Billy Edwards Jr., it's been taking a few first team reps this year. You know, you said it. I'm sure he wants to play his former teammates, and his former teammates want to play him.
Yep. This is one of those games. It's a must win just to keep that the boat going in the right direction and not seeing any too many leaks. Last week's game, I don't
getting
think
very is, Minnesota there.
Well, yeah, yes. They're doing a little better than what Wisconsin is right now with what they have and kind of right. In the same boat, so to speak.
Enough of that metaphor.
But they're doing a good job of that. And Wisconsin, you know, last week's game, if anybody predicted their record after four games, it would be 3-1, right?
Yep,
so if they can win this game, that's kind of where they were going to be. So I don't think that's going to change anything. Now they got to make sure they do it. If they're 2-2, then we got problems.
Yeah, that'll be a long bye week coming up next week. Packers looking really good. I mean, we touched last week because they played Thursday. And the Cleveland Browns, it's like everybody is like, oh, Cleveland. They're still an NFL team. They still got a very dangerous defensive end that can hurt a quarterback in, very quickly. But the Packers looking really solid, and we want to see that consistency continue on Sunday.
And you know, we've talked many times that this next game up is the most important game, right? And Kraft is really good. And he's banged up, and who knows if he's going to play. So some of the pieces and Reed's out, you know, and they got some of their weapons that might not be able to play this week. And that's going to be and they got against a good defense, and you're going to Cleveland. Yeah. So this is one of those games, too, where if you put it on the schedule, And you look at the Packers, that if you could have won your first two games, you're going to want to be 3-0. That's in the mindset. You're going to, if you want to really win big. So this is a game that if they want to really win big, they have to, because otherwise you have to make up for it somewhere else, along the line, to get that win back. So this is a game where you got to put it into the W column and whatever it takes to get there.
Absolutely. So do you think, feel confident? It feels like this is a group that not just, you know, they have good football players. It feels like it is a team that I was very impressed at in a short week last week. They came out and were able to be so mentally ready to go. That's not an easy turnaround for the NFL because it's such a violent game. But do you think they're going to come out there and take care of business quickly against Cleveland?
Let's hope so, right? I mean, I think they're going to. I think it's going to be a hopefully a good weekend for the Brewers, a good weekend for the Badgers, and a good weekend for the Packers. And you don't get those often. I mean, we've been blessed to have quite a few of them lately. You know, over the last 20 years. This is one that you're going to want to go get.
Well, let's make it a good weekend for Newman Catholic as well.
That would even be better.
Just add it all together.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, good luck tonight, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Chad. You have a great weekend.
Coming up, information update, top of the hour, news, weather, and sports, and then we'll be back at 8:22, and we'll see if Ian can get that winning week in the number for the day quiz. So that's straight ahead as well. But more with Pat Kreitlow next here on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Late night talk show host lined up in Jimmy Kimmel's corner after ABC suspended him indefinitely over comments about murdered conservative activist Charlie Kirk. CBS's Stephen Colbert, whose own show goes away in May.
Ladies and gentlemen, we live in unsettling times with rising autocracy targeting America's most vulnerable talk show hosts.
Chinese state media report President Trump and Xi Jinping are on the phone right now on a deal to save TikTok. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The deal, says Trump, would remove China's ownership from the social media app. President Trump and the previous administration both cited national security concerns for banning TikTok in the U.S.
Officials in Washington state believe they've found the remains of a father who disappeared after murdering his three young daughters in May.
We're able to get an on-the-ground confirmation they were human remains. We've since collected some items from that and sending it out to Washington State Patrol's crime lab to see if we can get DNA confirmation if it is Mr. Decker.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.